This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Initiated by the Global Environment Centre, the National River Care Foundation aims to support efforts by interested groups to protect and enhance river ecosystems. I find out more about this small grant program from Dr. Kalitasan Kailasan, the coordinator of the River Care Program, and Dato' Engineer Hanapi Muhammad Noor, the Vice Chairperson of the Malaysian Water Partnership and Steering Committee Member of the Global Water Partnership Southeast Asia. And Dato' is also the ex Director of the River Basin Management Division, DID Malaysia. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here.
My pleasure. So, Dato, let's get to know you a little bit better. Ex-director of River Basin Management Division. So, you've got all the experience we need to learn about river management here.
Yeah, a lot to be shared, especially those areas concerning river care and also water security.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the work that you used to do, you know, as the former director of River Basin Management, maybe for someone who doesn't even understand what all of that actually entails.
DID is currently the custodian of rivers in the country. So being the custodian, we need to take care of rivers. Taking care of rivers means conserving rivers, preventing rivers from pollution, or if polluted river, then we need to have programs to reduce pollution. And also, one thing that most people is not aware that 97% of our water that we use come from rivers.
Yes.
So, they not take care of rivers, then it doesn't make sense because you are drinking that water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, it's a source of life. You know, it's a source of income for many people, and they don't quite understand that, you know, if you throw rubbish in that river, you're going to affect your health, your life.
Yeah.
And things like that, right?
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, Dr. Kali, you also have been working a lot in that, you know, kind of changing the way people see rivers or treat the rivers around them. Has that, you know, have you seen an improvement over the years?
I think, as Dato' say, you know, although DID is the custodian of the river management, but we also have to understand, in total, we have 2,986 rivers. That's a lot. And it's not feasible to rely on DID alone to look after the river. Mm-hmm. So therefore, as the custodian of the river, the government agencies need our help. The stakeholders. And who are the most important stakeholders is the public.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, GC as an NGO, we are relying to empower the public to look after the river. Now, because as Dato' said, 97% of our drinking water come from there. You
know?
But over the years, we can see that, you know, our rivers are facing some serious problem. the latest data from DOE 2016 shows 53% of our rivers are either slightly polluted or polluted.
That's a very troubling figure.
It's a great challenge.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. And did you sort of, you know, while you were with the DID, did you sort of work on a lot of engagement projects with the people, you know, educational sort of projects?
Yes, I think one of the biggest projects concerning river care is the River of Life program for Klang River.
Mm-hmm.
It is a program that should be completed by the year 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And the objective is to turn the water in the Klang River to Class 2. Class 2 means you can have a body contact. That means it won't affect your health if you touch the river water. So Class 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an acceptable quality.
But do you think that Malaysians, you know, we've become accustomed to dirty rivers? I mean, like, we're just so used to seeing brown rivers, it doesn't even, you know, spark anything that this is a wrong thing. This is not how our rivers should look like.
I mean, generally, that is the our biggest challenge. This is our biggest challenge because why? The picture people have about river is wrong. if you ask, go around on the street, ask them, what's the color of the river? The common term that you use is a teh tarik.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
None of them will say is it colorless or transparent and so on. So this is the problem. So the picture they have about river is wrong. No? So now for us, NGOs and also the government agencies is to change the mindset. Look here, no? River used to be like what? What is the characteristic of the natural river?
Mm-hmm.
River. So we have to educate them. And then what is their role? how we can, together with the agency, can look after our river. Like those days, 50 years, 100 years, there's no such call gotong royong to clean up. As Dato said, no, we have to spend billions of money to rehabilitate the river. Mm-hmm. But those days, no need. Because why? Every stakeholders, including the public and local community, know their role. Because they know their drinking water come from the river. The fish come from the river. And everything's come from. So therefore, they know the responsibility, you know, and they know what is their role and their impact, you know, mm-hmm. And how you'll be impacted later part. Mm-hmm. So that is what the gap we have with the current generation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I guess, you know, the National River Care Fund, that is something that is one of the initiatives that to kind of help bridge that. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Dato' Hanapi, could you explain, you know, what your current role is, you know, the Malaysian Water Partnership, which is under the Global World Partnership? What is all of that about?
Okay, under the Malaysian Water Partnership umbrella, our main objective, our main vision is for water security. We want to secure water for the country. For all the sectors, not only for drinking, but also for the use of irrigation water for agriculture, for the use of industry, and also for tourism purposes, and not to forget the environment, because the fauna and flora all requires water. So
source of life, yeah.
Yeah, so our objective is to ensure water security for the country. Mm-hmm. So there are, of course, a number of activities, programs that we carry out every year.
Okay, what are some of these programs?
We are focusing more on capacity building, doing training, mm-hmm. involving all stakeholders. We have many stakeholders related to water, mm-hmm. including, of course, the organization, the kampung people, NGOs, and government sectors, and also the private sector.
Mm-hmm. And GEC is one of your working partners, especially
yes,
to implement training, right? What are some of the collaborative projects that you both have been working on, both your respective organizations?
I think over the last so many years that we have a very close relationship because we are one of the members. Mm-hmm. In fact, we are also SE members of the Malaysian Water Partnership. And one of the key activities that we work with MyWP under the umbrella of MyWP is one, the River Ranger training, mm-hmm. to empower the stakeholders, including the government agencies as well as the local communities, to empower how to look after the river, okay. how to monitor the river, or how to audit the river. Mm-hmm. That is one key word. But one of the significant projects undertaken under Malaysian Water Partnership is the community engagement or preparedness on flood prevention.
Mm.
Because, you know, lately we are facing major problem due to the climate change and so on. So MyWP have taken challenge to empower or to prepare the community how to face the flood issues there. And GC been entrusted to take lead on that. Mm-hmm. So we have, in partnership with NATMA and few other agencies, local authority and so on, have developed module and have so far have conducted 4 training of trainers in different part of the country, especially in Peninsula. But the pilot project was for Klang community. Mm. And then we did 2 for Klang. And then the other one is in Sungai in Pahang, Kuantan, and then Pasir Mas at Kelantan, and then another one AU2 at Ampang, Selangor.
Okay, all right.
So these are the thing, and then some of the key thing beside we empower, we also lobbying for community to have what we call grab bags, as well as H72 bags. No, these are the 2 vital bags that every household should have during the flood risk month. No, within that we'll teach them for the survival. So these are the 2 preparedness for community. No, facing the flood.
So these are like emergency bags?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And what are in these
one
bags?
One is about the important document, safety and so on. The other one on the survival, the food, you know. Because these are the lessons we learned from 2008 flood, East Coast phase, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have donated so many things, you know. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it never reached the intended victim. because of accessibility problem.
Right.
Bridge collapse and so on. So now, you know, if you see in overseas, you know, the first 3 days, which is 72 hours, that's why you call H72 back. You know. So that is a critical. So we need to empower everyone to prepare for the worst scenario. The first 3 days is critical for survival. You need to prepare that if without any external help for the thing there. So that is the two things. No.
So do you kind of identify areas that might be flood prone, and then you sort of equip them with these bags that you were talking about?
Yes. So, but I'll ask Dato to answer that, because that is what DID taking lead on that, Info Banji. But nevertheless, from the community aspect under MyWP, what we are doing is we also teaching the public how to develop their own community hazard map.
Okay.
Dato will explain on the overall structural prediction and so on. But nevertheless, for the community, we also encourage, in fact, we are training them to produce community, I mean, at their kampung level, which are the safe route during the flood time and so on. So we, so far we have developed almost 6 map for community together with them. So community will develop on with our assistant under the umbrella of MyWP and also GEC.
Okay, all right. So, Doctor, maybe you can explain then.
You mentioned, Juliet, you mentioned about the flood hazard map. Actually, DID has prepared quite a number of hazard map based on river basins. They started with major river basin first. What do you have in the flood hazard map? It is all about showing the areas to be flooded. If you have a certain amount of rainfall in a catchment, say you have 100 millimeter per hour of rainfall, then you will know where are the areas that will be flooded. So if you have, say, 150 millimeter per hour of rainfall, what is the extent of flooding? So this is important for the people to know this, especially those locals who will be affected.
So you do these trainings, and I guess you do all the mapping, the satellite mapping as well, am I?
Yes, of course, satellite mapping, and also with all the inputs from the rainfall stations that we have throughout the river basins.
Okay, and so, and are the people accepting this, you know, are they very open to the talks that you give?
Of course, it will help the affected people, because we are giving forecast, warning and forecast.
Sure.
So the people will have 1 or 2 days advance warning before flood comes.
Sure. So there's warning systems in place as well.
Yes,
so it's
correct.
So it's all about preparedness, isn't it? Just, you know, being prepared for the worst.
So that's why now, under the MyWP, we come up with a community, how to prepare the bags, you know, the boat bags, the map. So it's a local level. So that's the master plan. That's the overall thing. We're talking about river basin. But nevertheless, when come to the last affected party, which is the public, so we are going to the grassroots level. So under the umbrella of MyWP, GEC, and also NADMA, so we are empowering them so that when the alarm come to evacuate, so they know, rather than just looking for things, what to carry or grab, so they already prepare everything. So once they have siren, so they know, just grab their bag and
run. Okay.
Don't need to think anything else.
It's a waterproof bag.
Of course, one would hope. I'm speaking today to Dr. Kalitasan Kailasan. He's the coordinator of the River Care Program. And Dr. Engineer Hanapi Muhammad Noor. He's the vice chairperson of the Malaysian Water Partnership and steering committee member of the Global Water Partnership Southeast Asia. He's also the ex-director of the River Basin Management Division of DID Malaysia. We're discussing, well, many things, you know, preparedness for floods. And also, we're going to find out more about the National River Care Fund after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. In the studio with me today are Dato' Engineer Hanapi Muhammad Noor. He's the Vice Chairperson of the Malaysian Water Partnership and Steering Committee Member of the Global Water Partnership Southeast Asia. He's also the ex-director of River Basin Management Division of DID Malaysia. And joining us is also Dr. Kalitasan Kailasan. He's the coordinator of the River Care Program, which is what we want to discuss now. So maybe we can explain, Dr. Kali, maybe you can explain what the River Care Program focuses on.
I think to start with, I just give you the history why we started with the National River Care Fund. Maybe Dato can explain about river care, but I tell you why we come up with that.
Sure.
In 2006, Because GEC was championing on community engagement, mm-hmm. stakeholder engagement from 1998. So when we work with the community, then so we found out that there's a lot of people who really want to do something. Sure. They really want to care for the river and so on. But unfortunately, they have lack of two things now in terms of resources, financial as well as a technical, mm-hmm. okay? But nevertheless, there are in pocket of places, there are few of them are on their own, have initiated something, you know. So as we are working very closely with the community, so we thought it's a timely for one award to be given to identify the people and awarded them for the initiative they've taken now. So in 2006, GEC have started what you call Riveca Award. Mm-hmm. Under the Arts and Earth event. No?
Sure.
So during that award, then only realize, you know, we ask people to submit their application and so on. No? And then we see overwhelming response. From, so then only GEC realized that there's so many parties out there are doing a lot of things for the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, we are given award, everything. But the outcome of this particular River Care Award was to stimulate GEC how to support this community.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people say they want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
More people want to be in on the boat on this. But unfortunately, as I said, they have lacking of two resources as well as technical. No?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what triggered GEC. Why not we set up something, a common pool or platform for community to apply and then to be engaged, you know, on the thing there. So that is the history why GEC have thought about this so-called River Care Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Dato' can share, you know, what it's all about.
Yeah, I would like to say shabash thanks to the Global Environment Center, GEC, that have been supporting this initiative. Actually, it's meant for a local community, the community-based organization, NGOs, non-government organization, and non-profit organization, and also the education institution, including schools and institutions of higher learning, universities. And you see, we are targeting community, groups of people, not individuals. Why? Because we want to promote teamwork. So the focus is for them to take care of rivers, conserve rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And why you want to take care, want to conserve rivers, I have mentioned earlier that because rivers is our life because of the water that we consume and for other users.
Mm-hmm.
One important objective of the National River Care Fund is to encourage river care civil society, river care civil society, and we want to build their capacity, their capability in taking care of rivers, in conserving rivers. So that is our focus. And with the help of grants and education that this fund have, although it's not a big amount, but it really helps the society to be together with us in taking care of rivers.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it bridges that gap between like government, between the NGOs, between the community themselves. Because these, I suppose, are rivers within the community themselves. So it's like the neighborhood, maybe environment sector, NGOs doing this, right?
Yep. As you rightly pointed out there, you know, I think under the National River Care Fund, there's a three type of project that we fund.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, as Dato' have explained, that is a community fund where community can apply through the proposal with the template there, and then the ceiling is 5,000. So between 2,000 to 5,000 per grant we are giving that. Beside the grant, they also can apply for the training as a part of empowerment. So during the training is what you have mentioned there. No? We not only empower them on the how to care for the river, but also show them the linkages with the agency. Which are the agencies? For example, water quality means you have to refer to which agency, like DOE.
Right.
River means DID. And then let's say rubbish. who to deal with and so on. No? Yeah. So during the training is empowerment. So in overall, we are giving minimum three different type of training. One on the river, we call river ranger training.
Okay.
The other one, we also do training on the waste management and resource management. We call smart ranger. As well, the third one on the potable water, we call Dr. H2O training.
Okay.
So these are the major three training. Of course, lately we also do the flood ranger to prepare the community. So this is the second category, is a training. So they first, because some of them, they have thought to do, or they have intention to do something, but they don't know how to go about it. So they can request for the training first. So after the training, then they can apply for a grant as well.
Not necessarily
straight away, they can apply for the grant. That's second category. And third category, the one is very limited. We are from time to time, if possible, we are also giving something like a small project, like a bigger scale, maybe around 10,000. But the one is not always, but from the case, you know, if there's really vital and so on, and if fund is available, then give. So these are the three different kind of category that we have under NRCF.
Okay. And there's also things like river restoration and rehabilitation projects and things like that?
That is under the community grant.
Okay.
So we are giving or we will only accept six category under the community grant. Number one is about the education, awareness and capacity building. So they can apply for that. Number two is riverine biodiversity conservation. So anything on the species, flora and fauna and so on. Third one is on pollution and cleanup of the rivers. And the fourth one, to protect. You know, if it's not polluted, if it's good, then how to protect, or even if it's slightly polluted, how to restore.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
And then the fifth one is sustainable livelihood, because we want community to, like for example, if you go to a rural area, people are relying on the river. No? So we cannot stop them from accessing or extracting things from the river. So, but we have to empower them how to have sustainable livelihood. So that's category number five. And then the last one is best practices on the pollution reduction. Now, how as the custodian or the cause of the some of the issues there, how you and I can control the pollution at a source.
Okay.
So this is the fifth category.
Okay, so this is the one you're saying for the communities themselves,
yes,
right?
And
who actually are eligible? You know, how does one actually, do they have to be part of a community group? Is there sort of like an eligibility that needs to be fulfilled?
Yeah, as I've mentioned earlier, that we are targeting community and also community-based organization, including schools and institutions of higher learning. So all these groups can apply for grant, and we are now in the fifth cycle, because this National River Care Fund started in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, we open two times application. So we are now in the fifth cycle. So the current cycle will end until 30th of June. 30th of June. So it's still open for the community and organization to apply for this grant. And we are expecting to provide grants to a minimum of six organizations for the fifth cycle.
Okay. And how does one actually go about applying for the grant?
I think we have advertised that on our website and also through social media and so on.
Sure.
It's very simple. We don't want 20, 30 pages proposal.
Yeah.
There's already a template, so they just have to fill up. I think the most is 3 pages only, you know. As Dato said, anyone can apply. But of course, the restriction is it cannot be for any individual or any profit-making organization, no.
Okay.
This is only for community-based organization, can be local community, even RASCAN, Resident Association, or KRT, Rukun Tetangga, you know, Education Institute. But any profit-making organization, not eligible.
Okay.
And individual also not eligible, because we want is for group, you know, who genuinely want to do something for the environment.
Okay. And, you know, based on previous people who have applied, you know, Mami, what are some success stories that you've seen, you know, as a result of this fund?
I think to amaze us, even myself, you know, obviously, we thought, you know, we'll be successful. No?
Mm-hmm.
But if you see the outcome, some of the communities, It's amazing. I'll give you a few examples. Number one, if you see that one urban community in AU2, Taman Keramat there, you know, if you see that, you know, previously, there's a lot of what they call dengue case in that area, you know, because they are more like a low earning income group,
okay,
flat and so on. You know. But through this project, they have empowered the whole community within the flats, no? And then they have adopted the river basin, river reserve there, and turned into a herbal garden.
Wow.
So now, gardens, wow. Do you believe in KL we have even paddy, you know, planted there? Now, if you want to harvest, you go see, you can go there. And then they have fish, you know, breeding and so many things. In fact, they're using Klang River water to water the plants and so on.
Amazing.
So that is very successful model that in an urban community.
And that's, this is fully run by the community themselves,
right?
Yeah, it
is fully run by them. Mm-hmm. And of course, to sustain, they also managed to attract a lot of support from agency as well as the private sectors.
Okay.
So people are coming in because they see the success of this model there. That's one example. The other one is about monitoring. Mm. How successful monitoring. If you see this, there's one group in Suminye. If you know that, you know, Sungai Langat is one of the water source, you know, water treatment plant, everything. But from time to time, we have some problem, you know, pollution. I think it's came out in the media and so on. So the community there, they call Gagasan Prihatin Suminye, have thought about that, okay, what we as a public can do. So they apply, so we empower them. So what happened that they started to monitor the Klang River, the Langat River. No? So they map the river and then use drone and then monitor.
Wow.
So put the culprit in, on the toe, because why? They are always been watched, the thing. And
constant
then they go monitoring. All the thing, not only monitor the water quality, but also the point source and non-point source. So that one, Gagasan. And in fact, they have highlighted so many issues even in the TV and newspaper.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
That is how community can monitor on behalf of the agency. Because agency cannot be there all the time, no,
for sure.
On the ground. So community, that's second. If you see that, there's another group called Chowkit Foundation. This one young. That is a community. Now we are talking about education institution, school students. You know. The Yayasan or the foundation of Chowkit, yeah, is Myanmese kids, you know, the group of the Myanmese there in Chowkit. So they have applied this. So we empowered them. And then the kids themselves, they went out to do the mapping of the, you know, in Chowkit, there's a wholesale vegetable, fruit and so on, which cause a lot of pollution, you know,
sure.
The waste pollution and rubbish and so on. So they went to carry out the study and also study the water quality of Sungai Kemasa and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, when we presented to the advisory committee, even the advisory committee was so amazed how kids can do, you know, excellent job and so on. So that's why now we are more motivated that, you know, to help more people to have this kind of significant impact. These are the three simple examples, but of course in total we have given so far over the four cycle 29 communities or recipient of the grant.
That's
so far
wonderful.
Over the last 3 years.
That's wonderful. And like you said, you know, it reaches that aim of empowering the people themselves to take responsibility and to not just, as you said, you know, rely, oh, this is the government's fault or this is, you know, someone else's fault. That's wonderful. So but do you sort of impose, I suppose, checks and balances to make sure that they maintain it, you know, that, you know, those sorts of things?
Okay, definitely, you know, because we are not interested in the one-off event.
Exactly.
We never fund any event-based thing. It must be initiative. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, even within the template, then we have to tell them what's the outcome and what's the impact. In fact, the chairman of the NRCF advisory committee is very particular on that. No? So even before we grant the money, so we ask them that. And then after the, say, project period, there will be regular monitoring from our end. No? In fact, we have a few WhatsApp group. Okay, because currently that is the common
easiest
platform. So it's very easy to communicate and nobody can hide anything, you know. If they say they have done that, then they say, take the photo and share with us.
Yeah.
So that is put the thing, one of the easiest way to know whether community continuing after the so-called over the project period and so on.
Okay.
So definitely GC, because GC is an NGO, genuine NGO, so we will monitor. But just for the listener, some of the recipient have received for the second time, no, because they are so good. GEC thought that, you know, or the committee, the advisory committee thought that, you know, it's good to fund them to share and empower the other community.
For sure.
So rather than GC go and empower them, so now we are using them as the facilitator, as a resource personnel there. So we even give them grant to educate the rest.
Okay.
So there's a second level of the empowerment now
it's
already taking place.
Yeah, because like you said, you know, funding is usually the issue, right, with the community. So now, you know, once they've already got it kickstarted to keep it rolling, right, to keep it going. So, okay, so now we're in the most recent cycle. And as Datuk mentioned, the closing date is on the 30th of June.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess anyone listening, you know, with the, seeing the dirty rivers in their community, I'm guessing you're encouraging them to apply?
Yes, of course, we encourage as many as possible communities, groups to apply for this National River Care Fund. And you still have time to apply this. And I would like to say that in our effort in the River Care program, the keyword is sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
So all the efforts that have been carried out need to be sustained. It's no point that, you do River Care program this year and then next year you forget about it. Mm-hmm. So to sustain all these efforts, you need to understand, to feel that the river belongs to you. So with that culture, with that spirit, I'm sure the community will really love the river. And they, of course, for example, this year you get the fund. So the following year, either if you can't get the funding from the National River Care Fund, if you can see the benefit of carrying the river, I'm sure they will source for other funds as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we are also encouraging the more and more private sectors to chip in the funding.
Okay, all right. So I guess if they're interested, if any private entities are listening, they can just get in touch with the both of you or with GEC.
Yeah, in fact, during the empowerment process, we also empower them now how to sustain. We also link with them with the corporate funding, active foundation, and also international funders. In fact, we help them how to develop a proposal and so on.
Okay, wonderful, yeah.
So I personally, or GEC, we don't think that money should be the limitation factor for anyone to be active to look after the environment. I strongly believe there's a lot of plenty of money out there. The only problem is nobody knows where exactly, and we are knocking the wrong door.
Okay.
So in GC, we have privilege to know certain room or doors, you know. So we will share, link the community with the right groups to sustain their activities.
Of course, some added benefits of donating to the NRCF, especially from the private sector. Among the benefits is an opportunity to sit in the National River Care Fund Advisory Committee. We have an independent advisory committee. And all donation is tax-exempted. Donation is tax exempted, and there, of course, we will give some branding mileage to the whichever company who would like to contribute to donate to this fund, and also free trainings for the staff. Free trainings for the staff on river care, and also not to forget, they will be invited to future GEC events. GEC is well known for organizing quite a number of events throughout the country, not only related to river but also to water issues.
I think as a follow-up to what Dato say, you know, as what we shared earlier is the benefit of the NRCF, how community can apply or benefit that. But nevertheless, to sustain the fund itself, you know, so we need support from the corporate. So far, of course, there's a few corporate coming in like Yayasan Foundation and so on, and Hazana Foundation and few other small companies and so on. So we will like to welcome them to use this NRCF, National River Care Fund, as a platform for them to support the community-based activities. Because for individually to go and outreach to the community is not easy.
Yep.
So through this platform is the much easier because it's a proven mechanism. And this fund, NRCF, is governed by an independent council. Mm-hmm. Even though it's actually led by GC, but it's supervised by governance by the advisory committee of NRCF, which is chaired by Dato' Lim. And Dato' Anafi is one of the fundamental member of the council. Beside that, we also have UKM, University Kebangsaan Malaysia, on that, and the director of the River Basin Division of JPS also sitting as a committee. So you no need to worry, you know, if the donation come in, how the money will be utilized and so on, because we have independent council who looking after or supervising the whole running of the NRCF. Mm-hmm. So therefore, even though with a small amount of money, we have shown that, in fact, last year we did one sharing. We brought 6 recipients of the grant and then share, you know. So there's a lot of corporate was amazed, because with small money, because we are talking maximum 5,000, you know, people can showcase excellent outcome on that. So again, we'd like to take this opportunity to inform the corporate that if you ever thought about this, that maybe you can explore National River Care Fund as one of the platforms for you to outreach to the general public.
Okay, all right. So I guess, you know, any corporates out there listening, you know, this is a wonderful way for your corporate social responsibility efforts, and for any resident associations or, you know, community groups, if you are interested in rehabilitating or looking after a river in your neighbourhood, this is a wonderful fund that you should tap into. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today.
Okay, thank you for having us here.
My pleasure. I've been speaking to Dato' Engineer Hanapi Muhammad Noor and Dr. Kalitasan Kailasan, and they were both discussing the National River Care Fund. If you'd like more information, you can visit the GEC website at gec.org.my. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, which is available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.